Hello and welcome to Fresh Dialogues. I'm your host, Alison Van Diggelen. I hope you and yours are staying well and relatively cheerful through this holiday season. Our family experienced a seismic shock last week and I'm feeling quite rattled. More on that later. Last night I took a walk through the neighbourhood and it was quite unsettling. Here in California, we're under a new, stricter COVID shutdown that lasts through January 4th. No travel, no eating out, no large family gatherings. You know the drill. As I walked the empty streets, it seemed like we were back in March, except that now it feels much, much worse. The streets have a trickle of traffic, the restaurants are deserted, and the shoppers few and far between. How are these small businesses going to survive, I asked myself. The holiday lights and cheerful Christmas music pulsing through an open-air mall felt, well, pathetic. I shivered from the cold as I passed shiny new outside eating areas and parklets with plastic canopies. They were rapidly erected in the last few months for COVID-compliant dining. Now, of course, they lie neglected like abandoned relics from a bygone age. Although there is light at the end of the tunnel in the form of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, I fear the rollout will be painfully slow, and perhaps too slow for me to make it back to Britain on time. You see, last week my 88-year-old mother took a turn for the worse. When we spoke on Sunday, I just didn't recognise her. Something had shifted in her brain. She was agitated and impatient. She talked non-stop for almost an hour and wouldn't let me interject. After the call, my first instinct was to jump on the first plane back to London to be at her side. But I know that's foolish and dangerous. I feel a million miles from her, cut off and helpless, just like I felt in March when she ended up in hospital with a broken pelvis and we feared the worst. The distance makes me feel impotent and even more furious at Trump. Not only did he mishandle the federal pandemic response, it turned out he refused an offer to buy more of the Pfizer vaccine earlier this year, which puts America at the end of the line for the second batch of the vaccine. But instead of ruminating, I'm forcing myself to remember my mother's regular advice when things get tough. You know you've just got to get on with it, she's told me so many times. So in that spirit, let's get on with it. Here are highlights from my latest appearance on the BBC World Service. I've chosen to feature a light-hearted discussion with the BBC's Jamie Robertson. We explored COVID etiquette and what the Scottish Government is doing to keep everyone not just safe, but civil during the next few months of COVID. You'll hear shout-outs to two women I admire more than ever this year. First of all, Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, whose steady leadership and regular COVID updates have shown world leaders how to be strong, principled, and keep a good sense of humour. The second is writer and comedian, Janie Godley, whose regular voiceovers of Nicola has kept her family in stitches through some of the darkest days of the pandemic. If you haven't discovered Janie Godley's Twitter feed or YouTube channel, get on it today. Or check out the links at Fresh Dialogues. You'll also hear about the mantra I'm trying to follow this festive season. Assume good intent. You'll soon find out why it's more relevant than ever. Also, for the politicals listening, you'll find a wee politics extra at the end of this podcast. During my BBC appearance, I voiced my opinion on the incredible hypocrisy of the Trump administration. You might be thinking, there's lots of issues to choose from. You'll find out what specific hypocrisy I'm referring to quite soon. Here's my conversation with the BBC's Jamie Robertson.
So what do you think of, Alison, a Scottish government's guides to being polite in a coronavirus environment?
I think good on them. I think using a little bit of humour is a good way to go. And I've been following Nicola Sturgeon's announcements and actually some of Janie Godley's spoofs. I don't know if you know her. She is a comedian that routinely spoofs Nicola Sturgeon's announcements. And I love that Nicola Sturgeon has embraced that and retweets them, because
however you can get this message out that we need to social distance, we need to wear our masks, et cetera, et cetera, then good on them for doing it. And I like this advice to assume good intent. That is a mantra that I've heard in a lot of Silicon Valley tech circles. A colleague of mine said that when I told her about that, she said, that's really changed my life. Rather than overreacting to something, someone's snide comment or what you take as a snide comment, think about it as I assume good intent. So when someone says, give me space or stand back, rather than, you know, jump to condemning them, think, oh, they're trying to protect me or protect themselves.
I think the point is really interesting. I hadn't thought of it that actually what they're doing they're not particularly interested in people being polite to each other. What they're interested in doing is getting people talking about it. And that heightens mm-hmm. awareness, which I think is quite clever if that's what they're trying to do.
Yes, I think so. And I think the other thing to acknowledge in this story is everyone is at a heightened state of anxiety right now. So I think some of these reactions that people are talking about, it's just a mass overreaction. And I think, you know, if people just think about it for 5 minutes, they realize that, we do have to change the way we do things.
Have you ever seen people losing their temper? I mean, do they lose it over this one?
Not personally, but I've heard of people, shop assistants, getting into like heated debates or even getting physical with customers, because unfortunately in America, I don't think it's quite the same extent in Britain, because you have decent leadership, especially in Scotland. But the mixed messages here have whipped these COVID deniers into this state of, you know, people are saying I'm defiantly not wearing a mask and putting their chin up when they see people wearing masks. But some city councils are doing a really smart thing, and they're posting notices all through their downtown saying there'll be a $100 fine if you're caught not wearing a mask. And I think hitting people's pocketbooks or their wallets is a smart way to go.
Yeah, the other interesting point, just got a few seconds before we finish, but whether the pandemic will leave permanent changes in the way we interact with each other. For instance, kissing on the cheek and the shaking hands. When do you think that's going to come back?
That's a really good point. I have been doing these elbow touches myself, and I kind of like that. Yeah. And yeah, I think it's, you know, there will be some of these new etiquette practices that do stay. And probably it's going to be many years until we go back to business as usual. As far
All
as
right. Bisous, well, am I allowed to give you a virtual hug as I say goodbye?
Yes, I think we're safe with that, Jamie. We're
okay.
1,000 miles.
Goodbye.
In the second half of the program, we also discussed China's banning of 105 smartphone apps, including the popular TripAdvisor. Jamie Robertson asked me if there's political football being played through global trade. I welcome the opportunity to talk about how ludicrous Trump loyalists are being. Trump's deluded denial of his election loss is one thing, but the fact that the majority of elected Republicans and most of his cabinet are going along with his repeated attempts to overturn the will of the American people is deeply disturbing. It undermines the democracy of the United States and reminds me of the story of the Emperor's New Clothes. So the question is, at what point will Trump and his followers see the error of their ways and face the naked truth? Here's what I said on the BBC World Service.
Yes, I think there are definitely politics comes into this. I think this week, the hypocrisy of the Secretary of State, Pompeo's action in Hong Kong is astounding. He's sanctioning and criticizing Hong Kong officials for, quote, undermining democracy, when his boss is doing the same in the United States by not conceding the election. It's just, you know, boggles the mind, actually.
Thank you for joining us on Fresh Dialogues. As always, we welcome your feedback on Facebook and Twitter. Here's hoping that you and yours will have moments of joy this festive season, despite what my friend Shanna calls the chaos and suckage of 2020. As we say in Scotland at Hogmanay, a'ra best, a'ra time. See you next year.